We have responsibilities when it comes to walking in God's perfect protection. People oftentimes want a no-fault religion. If something happens, it was God's will. If something doesn't happen, it was God's will. And that leaves us with no responsibility. Well, don't blame God, because you know why? We need to do our part. Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. I'm John Copeland, and it's such an honor and a pleasure to have you here with us today. Hopefully you've gotten to see earlier part of the week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If you missed any of those, go online and you can watch them at your convenience. But what we're talking about is really important. This week and next week, we're going to be talking about this, and it's the perfect protection for your life. It's walking in God's protection for you, for your family, and it's really an important message at this time, in these last days. And we are very honored to have Brother Keith Moore here teaching us this, because Keith brings some supernatural revelation and insight into God's Word. And he's done a 12-CD series on being in God's perfect protection. And that's available online on our website. If you want to go out there, you can download that MP3 for free. We'd like to sow that as seed in your life. Brother Keith's sowing it into your life. Now, Brother Keith is founder of More Life Ministries in Branson, Missouri, and also Faith Life Church up there. If you're anywhere in that area, you need to get into that church and check it out. Brother Keith is somebody who is a stickler for the Word, and if it's in this Bible, then we better believe it and we better do it. But in doing so, you're going to live a life that is prosperous, that's healthy, that's whole, that's peace. He and his wife, Phyllis, have been doing a wonderful job for the body of Christ, preaching all over the world. Mm. And I want to thank you for your service and particularly your integrity. I've seen that in you, Brother Keith, and spending personal time with you. You're very guarded about your words you use. You believe what you teach, and that is, you don't say it unless you can say it by faith. You follow God, and you always walk with integrity, and I really admire you in that. You remind me a lot of my father in that way, is that you're going to walk in integrity. Even if it comes to your own hurt, you're going to walk in integrity and follow what God says. Mm. Of course, when you do that, it won't come to your own hurt. Yeah. It may seem like it at times that if I take this path,
right,
that I'm not going to be as good as if I lied about it or shaded it or whatever,
right,
but you'll always come out ahead. But I really watched you in your personal life, you know, off the platform, off the stage where everybody's looking, and that's the way you walk. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you, John. That's most kind. This ministry has been such a tremendous influence in mine and Phyllis's life, just as newly married guys with knowing nothing about faith and the Word. We sat in your dad and mom's meetings back in the 70s, and God got a hold of us and ministered to us, and we saw what you're talking about in your dad, in your mom, and the life of faith and the life of walking with God. There just is nothing better. There's nothing more glorious. And I know people watch us sometime and watch you folks on the broadcast, and they think, well, is that really real? I mean, or is that just for the broadcast? No, this is 24/7 with us. Yeah. This is, and we're not, you know, pretending will wear you out, trying to maintain a front and a facade. That's fatiguing. That's why people, you hear them say, oh man, I'll be glad when I can get home and let my hair down and be myself. Mm-hmm. Well, who have you been a being? Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, that you're not supposed to do that. And when you people say, well, I'm still trying to find who I am. You can't find who you are searching the world. You find who you are in Christ. We are everything He says we are. We are everything that He's provided and bought and paid for. We're in Him. And man, when you find out who you are in Him, it makes you secure. You quit trying to impress people. You quit trying to put on a front. You can relax and you can really live life.
Yeah, well, it's, I've seen that in you. Mm. And I see that in mom and dad, you know, every day. And oftentimes I've thought about, gosh, I wish there could be a camera. I do and I don't, which is, but I wish that people could actually see mom and dad behind the scenes.
Right.
Mom and dad in everyday life. Mom and dad when all the family's on vacation.
Yeah.
Mom and dad when they wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And what they would see is they would see them living exactly
the
what
same.
They teach. Yeah, it's the same. There's not an on-platform Kenneth Copeland and an off-platform Kenneth Copeland.
Right.
I mean, if we have something come up in our life, in our personal lives, we address it in the Word.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt, everything that we do, we address it with the Word.
Yes.
If there's a problem, if there's something good, if there's something bad, I mean, they're completely sold out and dedicated, I guess, is a way that you could say
it.
So it's an honor to be in this family, and it's an honor to be able to be here. But to be talking about what we're talking about as far as protection, it's vitally important because things in this world in these last days, the Bible says they're going to get pretty bad. But they don't have to be bad for us. Not if you know how to walk in God's perfect protection. And so this is what we're talking about. And today we're going to be talking about some things about some more things that are on our part.
Right.
We talked about some things that are God's responsibility, some that are ours. And I think today we're going to get into talking about the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to not walk in fear.
Right.
Could you lead us through that, Brother Keith?
Absolutely. We're taking the 91st Psalm and we're just going verse by verse. And it's well known. A lot of people quote it and talk about it. But one thing I think many have not seen is what you just referred to, that this is not just poetry. It's God telling us, you do this, and I'll do this. And then you do this, and I'll do this. And he keeps saying, I'll protect you, and this is how I'm going to protect you. And people have read it and got excited about that he had the ability and means to protect. But millions, John, have just ignored that he said, you do this, you say this, you respond to this.
We don't want to hear those parts.
But it's necessary. And so, so many times when people, even though they're good Christians and they love God, but they weren't protected. And people are scratching their heads and going, well, I don't understand that. He's a good man, he's a good woman, they serve the Lord. Why weren't they protected? Well, I assure you this, it wasn't God's fault. A teacher of mine some years ago in Bible school, he made this statement. He talked about there were some situations in the Old Testament that had to do with judgment. And he said, you may not understand why this happened the way it did or what that phrase means. He said, but let me give you some good advice. Always stay on God's side. And that just etched in me.
It's pretty good advice.
It's a good advice. And I thought, that's right. Always stay on God's side. What does that mean? It means that you believe no matter what God did or didn't do, He was just, He was fair, He was right. And so if something didn't happen that we know is the will of God, like protection, it wasn't God's fault. He did not fail. He certainly did not lie. And so we need to go over these things and see our part, make sure we're doing our part, then we know we can count on Him. Mm-hmm. He will do His part. We saw number one, verse 2, he said, our part was to say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. I know we said it before. I want us to say it again. Say it out loud. Right now, say it out loud. I say of the Lord.
I say of the Lord.
You are my God.
You are my God.
My refuge.
My refuge.
My fortress.
My fortress.
My protector.
My protector.
I trust you.
I trust you.
A declaration of that gives Him legal access and right into our life. It said, surely, when you say that, surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings shall you trust. So when we do that, we take that statement and that stand of faith. You're my God. You're my protector. I'm not trusting in an amulet. I'm not trusting in some kind of a powder or potion. I'm not carrying rocks or rabbit's foot. I'm trusting God. He said, when you do that, I'm going to come over you with my canopy of protection. And as we talked about yesterday, the enemy, the predator, underneath the wings and feathers of the mother, can't even see the young and find them. And so he went on to say, he'll cover you, his truth will be your shield and buckler. But verse 5, it goes right back to us. Here's our part again. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Now, to the first part of the phrase applies to all the following statements. So you could say it like this. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night. Mm-hmm. You'll not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. You'll not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in the darkness. You'll not be afraid of the destruction that wastes at noonday. And the emphasis is you won't be afraid of this. You won't be afraid of that. You won't be afraid in the day, in the nighttime. You won't be afraid. And I think sometimes people have just read this and like, well, praise the Lord, I won't be afraid means I won't have any feelings of fear. Not so. You can be tempted to fear, even when you're trusting God. And if you've never been in a situation where there are bullets flying around your head or something that was way past your ability to deal with physically or even mentally is pressing down on you, then you're just kidding yourself to think you're not going to have any feelings. Feelings are going to come. And fear can try to come over you. And I mean, you can just be doing fine. And all at once, you feel it. I mean, the hair standing up on the back of your neck. All you'd have to do is be out in the jungle and hear a lion growl about 2 feet from you.
Your adrenaline will get to pumping.
Oh, man. Feelings will come. And you'll be tempted to fear. But here's the thing. Just because you're tempted to fear and you have feelings of fear does not mean you have to fear. We've learned how to do that in healing. So, well, I got pain, I got symptoms, but that doesn't mean I just accept sickness. No, I refuse that, and I believe I'm healed. Folks have not learned how to do that with fear. People say, you know, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm not going to be afraid, and then all the feelings come. They go, oh, man, I'm afraid. I couldn't help it. They don't understand what's going on.
So what do you do? How do you address that?
Well, it's to understand that a temptation to fear is not yielding to fear. It's not the same thing. Any more than a temptation to sin is sin. Jesus himself was tempted in all points just like us. I think sometimes people, they don't, religious minds don't want to realize that Jesus was, anything you and I have ever been tempted to do, he was also tempted to do it. The difference is he didn't yield to it. Being tempted is not the same as yielding. And so, when it comes to fear, you know, another psalm, famous psalm, the 23rd psalm, talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so, the implication is, in the valley of the shadow of death, it's shadowy, it's dark, you got the feelings, you're going to be tempted to fear. But he makes a statement, I will fear no evil. I will. He didn't say I didn't feel fear. I will. I choose not to yield to the fear. And you can be, you can have the hair standing up on the back of your neck. I mean, you can be shaking, trembling. Your knees can be bumping together. And it still doesn't mean you've yielded to fear. That's the thing we got to learn.
Is it your actions?
I mean, it's about a choice on the inside of you, what you choose to believe and say. In the middle of it, you can be shaking. You can be trembling. Fear can be all, you know, feelings of fear can be all over you. And in the middle of it, you can say, I don't care. I refuse to fear. I resist this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will. Got nothing to do with your feelings. I choose to as an act of my will. I will not fear. I will fear no evil.
So you have to engage your mouth,
yeah,
and your spirit in this.
Right.
And you really, you know, I've heard Dad talk about you can't think one thing and say another.
Yeah.
And so if your mind's sitting there going about what all could happen.
Right.
You know, the devil's bombarding you with, you're not going to make it, you're going to, yeah, die, this is the end, whatever.
Right.
So then you fill your mouth with these scriptures that you've been putting in your heart.
Exactly.
And so when you do that, That's how in that moment, isn't it, that you can resist that temptation of fear?
Absolutely. You see where people miss it is they just sit and get quiet. And they sit there and think all that stuff. And, oh, man, the further you do, the worse it's going to get. Or what will happen eventually is I'm going to die, I'm not going to make it, that kind of stuff. If you think on it long enough, it's going to come out of your mouth. You'll start saying it. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die. I'm not going to get through this. And when you do, you can seal your doom. I mean, as you think in your heart, that's how you'll be. You believe it in your heart. You say it with your mouth. You'll have what you say.
Basically, with when you fear, when you walk in fear, mm-hmm. when you yield to that,
right,
you're putting faith. So it's a counterpart of
yeah.
of faith is
yeah.
fear.
Mm-hmm.
So faith is your ability, your believing in the ability of God to take care of you.
Right.
You're using your faith.
Right.
But then fear is putting more trust in the devil's ability to hurt you.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a counterfeit of faith.
It's just
the opposite.
It is. It's what you're saying. The scripture talks about in Isaiah 12. Well, two verses actually. Isaiah 12:2 says, "I will trust and not be afraid." If you say, "Okay, don't be afraid," how do I keep from being afraid? Trust, faith in God displaces faith in the destroyer. You can't be full of faith in God and full of fear. Faith displaces fear. If you're full of fear, you're not full of faith. Psalm 56:3 said this, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." What do I do? You make a choice and you have to think on the right thing. God's bigger than this. God can protect me. God has protected his people before in situations worse than this. He's brought me through other things. You got to get to thinking right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just look at how terrible the circumstances are and think, man, that's nobody could live through that. Nobody. If you get to believe in that and looking at that, faith comes by hearing. Faith in the problem comes by hearing and meditating on the wrong thing. And that's why you need to, before anything comes up like that, ideally, if you fed your spirit for the past 10 years on these kind of things, mm-hmm. man, I don't care if it feels like the world's crashing down around you. It'll come up in your spirit. You'll stand up in the middle of it. You'll say, "I don't care. God's my God. He protects me. He is well able to deliver me and get me through this." And here will come that great mighty covering and protection over you. But to yield to fear is for us to fail to do our part. We can disqualify ourselves. I know it sounds strange to a lot of people, but we must not fear. We cannot afford it. When something comes up and the feelings of fear come, it is make or break. Whether you live or die can be determined by what you choose to do and focus on and say in the next few seconds.
Yes.
It really is that serious. And fear comes to everybody. The spirit of fear is throughout the world. It's thick in places. And so it'll try to come on you. And we'd like for that not to ever happen, but it's in the world. But the thing is, like we said before, I don't care if your knees are bumping together uncontrollably. I don't care if you're just shaking and trembling. That doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean fear has won. It doesn't mean you've yielded to fear. That's when you stand up on the inside and you say, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I refuse to yield to this. I am not afraid." The scripture talks about, and we were there in Psalm 91, he said it like this. He said, the New Living says, "Do not be afraid of the terrors by night." In Psalm 27, the psalmist makes a declaration that I really like. It's powerful. It's to the point. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now again, people think that's just nice sounding poetry. It's a declaration. It's just like saying Jesus is my Lord. It's just like saying God is my protector. Here he's saying the Lord is my light. Not I'm praying that he would be. I'm hoping he will be. No, he is, and he will be. Whom shall I fear? The English version, I like it, says it like this. The Lord's my light and salvation. I will fear no one. The Lord protects me from all danger. I will never be afraid. That's the English version. Verse 2, when evil men attack me and try to kill me, they'll stumble and fall. Even if a whole army surrounds me, I will not be afraid. Even if enemies attack me, I will still trust God. These statements, these positions are not nice and optional if you were a real strong Christian. They are necessary to survive in certain situations. You have to stand up and say, I refuse to fear anybody. I don't care if somebody's got a gun pointed in your face. You have to make a choice at that point. Now, the thing that, and your dad has taught by the unction of the Holy Ghost so ably and thoroughly on this, the thing that is the hook inside people that makes them susceptible to all this fear comes back to one central fear, the fear of death. The fear of dying. Mm-hmm. And that's what Hebrews says, that Jesus delivered us and all those from bondage who through all their life had been in bondage through the fear of death. Our one translation says the fear of dying. And if you are afraid of dying, you are going to yield to fear right and left. People say, well, I'm afraid of flying. Well, no, you're afraid of dying. I'm afraid of a car wreck. Now, you're afraid of dying in the car wreck. I'm afraid somebody's going to break in and attack me. Now, you're afraid of dying. It all comes back to that.
I can see where if you weren't saved, if Jesus wasn't your Savior, the fear of death is going to be there.
Sure.
But when He's your Savior, what's worst case scenario?
Exactly.
You're going to heaven.
Exactly.
Everything's going to be great.
Right.
You know, no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering. Everything's good. So that's worst case scenario that you wind up going to heaven.
Right.
So if you really believe that, if you believe what God's telling you here, then that should be a revelation to you. It should be in your understanding that if I die, I'm going to heaven. So why should I be afraid?
You got to have that foundation, John, exactly like you're saying. Is there a God? You got to know that. You got to decide it. Is there a heaven and hell? Is there life after death? You can't be playing around with that. You got to know it. You got to decide it. And here's the question. When I die, where am I going? Am I saved? Am I going to heaven or hell? Well, if you know you're saved and you know your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you need to face death. Okay, what if the guy does put the gun in my face? What if he pulls the trigger? What if he blows my head off? What's going to happen? What's really going to happen? Look at it. Don't shout, Brother Keith, I don't like thinking about it. You need to think about these things. Get yourself by the ear. Yeah. Look at it.
You have to make that decision ahead of time.
Right.
Before you're faced with it.
Or otherwise you're going to be in bondage to all these fears all your life, like the Bible said. Look at it. Okay. Boom. He pulls the trigger. Pew. Hot lead rips through your brain. What happens? The body falls down, quits breathing. Your spirit comes out of your body. Like a hand out of a glove. You're standing there looking at it. You're thinking, wow, this is over. And then you look up and there's your angel and he's smiling at you. He goes, hi. He goes, wow. He says, you ready to go? And then you realize you've got no pains, no aging effects. You think, man, I never felt this good. This is amazing. He says, you want to see some neat stuff on the way to heaven? Let me take you by the Milky Way. Let me show you. You're thinking, wow. And you get to go to be with the Lord. You get to be with your family. You get to see the mansion that He's been working on for you. No. You know, I went to see them, talking about the body in the casket. They're not there. They're gone. I went out to visit them at the gravesite. No, you didn't. It's just a shell there. They're not there. They're not there. And when that's real to you, that you're saved, and what death is not the end. Death, the Bible calls death a departure.
Departure. You're just going from one place to another.
Exactly. I mean, we do it all the time. We go to the airlines, and they're talking about arrivals and departures. And it looks like it's time for us to depart.
Yeah. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thank you. No matter where you are in life, no matter the physical realities that surround you, every believer has access to a secret place of complete refuge under His shadow.
You're protected, and He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep you in all of your ways.
In the CD series, Under His Shadow, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland provide the teaching every believer needs in order to get to this safe haven.
Under this shadow of refuge, you have to hold your place there. And you have to hold your place there by faith.
Invest time in this teaching and learn that Psalm 91 is for you. Your salvation includes prosperity, healing, and protection. And when you order the Under His Shadow CD series, Kenneth and Gloria will also send you 6 scripture cards that focus on the refuge and safety you'll find in this secret place. God's protection is tangible, and it is yours when you reside under His shadow.
Under His Shadow, this series by Mom and Dad is extremely important for your life to get, to live in the protection that God has for you. And if you order that, we want to throw in this scripture package. It's got Psalm 91 and several other scriptures. There's 5 different cards here that you can carry in your pocket. You can stick them in your purse. And this is how you're going to get those scriptures down in your spirit so that when the time comes, you don't have to think about it. It's just going to come out of your spirit and you can speak to those dangerous situations. We were talking about how if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can never be free from the fear of death. It's just going to be there. I don't care how tough you think you are. If you don't know what's going to happen to your soul when you die, it's going to bring fear. And there's one sure way to fix that, and that's by asking Jesus as your Savior. Brother Keith, I'm going to ask you to pray and lead us in a prayer to bring people into salvation so that they know who they are and where they're going to go when they die.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Speak this right out loud, out of your mouth and out of your heart. Said out loud, Father God, I believe in you. I believe in your Son Jesus, that He died on the cross, paid the full price for all my sins. I believe you raised Him from the dead. And I receive Jesus as Lord of my life. Thank you for washing me, saving me. Thank you, my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to fear dying anymore. I know I'm saved in Jesus. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. Now, if you prayed that, you contact us through the internet, email, letter, call us, whatever. And this is a salvation package that's got 5 books that we'd like to send you, postage paid and free. I want to remind you, if you're anywhere near Branson, March 6th through the 8th, you need to come to the meeting. Mom and Dad are going to be at Brother Keith's church. It's going to be a really good one. This is John Copeland and Keith Moore reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching the Believer's Voice of Victory. For information on this broadcast or other ministry products, visit our website at kcm.org.